Welcome to Faith and Victory Church, an active, non-denominational Christian church in Auburn, Washington. A warm, casual environment where everyone is welcomed, with a great kids ministry, live worship music, and pastors Matt and Crystal Krichunas. Faith and Victory Church is all about the Bible and worshiping Jesus. You're invited to visit one of our services in person, Sundays at 9 and 11. But for now, thanks for joining us here for this Spirit-filled message.
Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for this time this morning. Lord God, we want to give you all the glory and honor. Lord God, I pray that I could speak your word true this morning. Lord Jesus, I pray that that the people who hear it and the sound of my voice would receive it. Lord God, I pray that you'd speak the word to the individual, that you would have them learn this morning, Lord God, that you would have them bless them and grow them in your name for the sake of the gospel, Lord. Amen. The sermon this morning is called The Weight of Accountability. The weight as in like heavy weight of accountability. There it is. The weight of accountability this morning. So let's get right into it. Turn to your Bibles with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 12 through 13. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 12 through 13. I'll give you a minute to roll through it on your phone. It says this: Dear brothers and sisters, honor those who are your leaders in the Lord's work. They work hard among you and give you spiritual guidance. Show them great respect and wholehearted love because of their work, and live peacefully with each other. So this is the Apostle Paul's writing this letter to the church in Thessalonica. It's a church that he planted, and now he's in prison. So Paul's in prison, and he's writing his church's letters trying to encourage them, which I think is kind of a neat little testimony in itself. But we see in this letter, leading up to this point in Paul's letter, he says a lot of things to the church in Thessalonica that he says, hey, you're doing a good job at this, but I want you to continue doing a good job at this. He said that about a few different things. He says that they're doing a good job at sharing the gospel, and keep doing a good job at that. You're doing good. Keep it up. They're staying faithful. They're encouraging one another. They're living in a way that pleases God. So Paul's excited about what the church is doing, and he thinks they're doing a good job, but he wants to encourage them to keep doing those things and keep at it, because sometimes, you know, we can lose heart when the world around us is pressuring us and persecuting us. It says that the church at this time was actually enduring a lot of suffering in this town. But even though they were suffering for the sake of the gospel, their bold faith has become an example to all the believers in the area. So they're being good believers. They're doing what God's called them to do, what Paul's instructed them to do. He's saying, keep doing it, because you're being a great example to all the other believers in this whole area by what you're doing. So you're doing a great job. Keep it up. At this point in the scripture, he's reminding them for another thing. He's saying, remember to honor your leaders here. So in the context of this letter, I get the impression that they're already doing this, that they're already recognizing their leaders, they're giving them honor, they're listening to their instruction, but he's saying that he's encouraging them to keep doing this. And so I think, in this portion right now, I don't think Paul's talking about himself, because Paul planted this church, and he's kind of like the spiritual father of this church, but he's not with them. He's in prison right now. So he's saying, hey, remember your leaders and the work they're doing for you. I think he's talking about the local church leaders there in their town. I don't think he's talking about himself. I think he's talking about the local church leaders right now. So in this part of Scripture, you know what's interesting about Scripture, and I don't know if this is where the three-point sermon came from, but there's so many Scriptures that have like 3 points in them. It just makes my job so much easier. So the 3 points this morning are, and the Scriptures, I'll go through them one at a time. The Apostle Paul encourages us to do 3 things right here. Continue doing it. The first one is honor your leaders for their work. The word honor here, it's interesting, because in my New Living Translation it says honor, but in the New King James it says know. It says know your leaders. It says know your church leaders, know who they are, know what they do, know their impact, recognize their authority in your life, see their impact on the kingdom, appreciate the sacrifices they make and what they do. That's what he's saying. He's saying honor to your leaders for their work. He's saying know them. Know what they do. Pay attention. How do you know somebody? You pay attention. And you get to know them, right? You know the behavior of somebody in your circle of friends because you've seen them do it. You know them. You know what's going to happen, right? Paul shows us an example of this in one of his letters to other letters to other churches in Corinthians. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, I'm going to read 15 and 16. Paul says this to the church in Corinth. He says, "You know that Stephanas and his household were the first of the harvest of believers in Greece, and they are spending their lives in service to God's people. I urge you, dear brothers and sisters, to submit to them and others like them who serve with such devotion." One time I was preaching on pastor appreciation, and there were some visitors there, and they were like really confused. Because I kept talking about the pastor in third person, but I'm the guy up here speaking. So they're like, this is the kind of a weird cryptic church we go to. So I figure if I ever talk about spiritual leadership and authority again, I need to add some context to it because we're a little bit bigger than 50 people in a warehouse now. I mean, there's more people in church right now than we had two services in the warehouse when we started. So I'm Pastor Jay. I'm the associate pastor. I work full-time for the church, but I don't get paid. Because I'm a firefighter. I work for the fire department. That's where I came from this morning. I get paid there so I can do this, right? So I do that, and then I do this. But Pastor Matt, the guy who was dancing at the beginning, he's the senior pastor, him and his wife, Crystal. He's out of town today, so you won't see his lovely face in the front row today. But when I think of the work that a pastor does, it makes me think of the work that a firefighter does. And I think that a lot of times, me included, We have trouble understanding the job and the work of somebody else that we've never had to do. And I know for me, sometimes I get that little like usually I do it inside so I don't end up, you know, having to eat my words later. But a lot of times in my mind, I'm like, yeah, that sounds like a tough thing that you're doing. Whatever it is that you do seems like really tough. But then once you learn more about that job, you're like, ooh, there's a lot to it that I didn't know. So... For firefighters, it's an interesting thing because there's two spectrums for firefighters. Now, everybody knows that you honor firefighters because it's a cultural value. But there's a lot of things that culture supposedly values that inside we're like, yeah, whatever. I mean, we see them on stamps. You know, kids dress up for them as Halloween. We remember 9/11, you know, and we remember them standing around, raising a flag at 9/11. But actually, people always say, oh, we love what you do. But I always wonder if they know what we do. Because anytime somebody talks to me, they're like, oh, yeah, you worked this weekend, huh? Did you go any fires? No, I didn't go any fires. So must be nice. Drink coffee, sleep at work. Yeah, must be nice. You know, I have 4 days off a week. I'm like, well, the reason why you know that about a firefighter is because they don't like to talk about the other stuff. They don't want to talk about the bad stuff. People ask me all the time, they're like, what's the worst call you've ever been to? I'm like, seriously? You want me to live that again? Why would you want to hear that? I'm like, so I always say, well, let me tell you about a funny call I went on. And then we laugh and joke about the funny call we went on. Statistics say that firefighter suicide rates are at epidemic levels right now. Epidemic levels. It says, the statistics say that as much as 30% of firefighters meet the criteria for being diagnosed with PTSD. I mean, the coffee is strong, but it's not that strong. You know what I mean? So consider this. Every traumatic event that you've ever heard of, firefighters were there on the scene. Were they not? Every time somebody gets murdered, every time there's a natural disaster, every time something burns down, a gas explosion, firefighters are always there, right? So it's a little bit more than sleeping in the big blue chair and drinking coffee. Now, for pastors, it's kind of a similar scenario, and I've talked to Pastor Matt about this before. A lot of people see the pastor as that he gets paid to be a Christian. It must be nice. I got to be a Christian on my own time, and you get to get paid for it. Your 40-hour-a-week job is to just read the Bible and hang out with God. About 4 hours on Sunday, you actually have to do some work and preach a sermon. Must be nice. People always take you out for coffee and lunch. You know why you know a pastor goes out to coffee? Because he took you out to coffee. So you're like, this is what I've seen. I've seen him preach on Sunday and take me out for coffee. Must be nice. Right? Living off the tithe. That's what people think, right? But nobody sees the hospital visits, the late night phone calls for help. They don't see him walking people through crises or planning the future of the church, all while preparing fresh sermons every single Sunday. This is what's interesting about a sermon on Sunday. if that you were to come and you preach the same sermon that you preached within the last 3 years, people look at you cross-eyed. Like, seriously? I already heard that. I always think in my mind, oh, you already heard that, huh? Then why aren't you doing that? Maybe you need to hear it again. But imagine if Pastor Matt came up here and preached the same sermon that he preached the week before. You got to come up with, somebody at work asked me, they're like, oh, what's it like to preach? And I said, imagine if you had to put together a class and teach a class every week. But every week you had to prepare a brand new class every single week to teach that class. And if you didn't, then people would be like, well, what are you doing? I said, that's kind of what it's like to preach every week. So every month, a lot easier. Every week is a lot of work, right? They do a lot. 45% of pastors say that they've experienced depression or burnout to the extent that they needed to take a leave of absence from their ministry. Imagine that if you were at work and you got so burnt out and depressed that you had to leave your job. That's intense, right? That paints a different picture of it. Oftentimes, the reasons were frantic schedules and unrealistic expectations of their congregation. Because I know a lot of times I look at the person leading me, and I'm like, I think about all the stuff that they're supposed to do for me. And I see people do that with the pastor. I see them walk up to him 5 minutes before he's ready to preach, like, oh, pastor, I got to tell you what happened in my life. I need your help right now. I'm getting a divorce, or I lost my job, or whatever. And he's like, really? Can we talk about this later? But people, and I don't think people are trying to do that, Tim. I think it's just they're not thinking about that. They're not thinking about him have to be, you know, spiritually prepared to deliver a message from the Lord. But that's just it is, right? So consider this. Every time a marriage is on the rocks, a family tragedy occurs, somebody's in the hospital, or somebody dies, the pastor is the first person we call. Is he not? Even at work, we have a chaplain, volunteer chaplain. Because you can't pay that guy any money for some reason. We call him all the time, but you can't pay him. I don't know why it's not a paid position. But nevertheless, every time something horrific happens, we're looking at each other like, can we get the chaplain here, please? So I'm thinking of his life as a chaplain, right? A spiritual leader for the fire department police officer. Every time he sees us is the worst call we've ever been on. Can't we just call him when something good happens? I know a few chaplains, and they're burnt out too. I said, hey, I haven't seen you around for a while. They're like, yeah, that last one was too much for me. I got to take a break. I'm like, even for them, right? Even for them. Now, don't get me wrong. I know here at Faith and Victory Church, we don't think those negative thoughts. I know we don't. And I'm not just saying that, but you guys are some of the most caring and loving, people that I know. The church here is different than other congregations of people that I've been in. It just is. I know you guys appreciate the work that Pastor Matt and Crystal do. I know your senior pastors. I know you see their impact. I know there's so many people in this church that faithfully serve hand in hand with them in the ministry. So many. And so I know you know this, but this morning I would just encourage you to continue to honor them for their work. Amen? My second point is this. It says, show your leaders respect and love. Respect's one of those words in our culture that I think has completely lost its meaning. Because, you know, I think of those, like the Maury Povich shows and those kind of shows, and there's always like paternity tests, and the people, the guy's always there like, yeah, if it's mine, I'm going to take care of my responsibilities. It's like, what does that word mean to you? Your responsibilities. You know, and so respect's like that too. I think sometimes in our culture, the word respect really means I'm going to give you the minimum amount of authority over me that I have to in order to fit in with the culture. You know, they respect the president. They respect their boss. But when you hear them talk about them, there's not a whole lot of respect in how they're talking about them. They respect them because if they don't, they're going to lose their job. That's not the respect we're talking about here. The respect here, when you look up the word, it means to esteem very highly with adoration. It means to treat them well. That's what respect means that I'm talking about here. Why? Why should we give the pastor respect, the spiritual leader of our church respect? Because of their work. Because of their work. A pastor's work is to preach and teach and point the way and equip us to do ministry. That's what a pastor's supposed to do, right? They follow God's leading. Did you know they follow God's leading and we're supposed to follow their leading? If they're following God's leading, we're supposed to follow their leading too, right? Luke chapter 10, verse 16. Luke 10, 16 says this. This is Jesus talking to his disciples now. Jesus talking to his disciples are going to get sent out and do ministry. He says, whoever listens to you listens to me. And whoever rejects you rejects me. And whoever rejects me rejects the one who sent me. Did you hear that? This is Jesus talking to his disciples. His disciples are regular dudes. We make them out to be heroes, like they had capes and they were just waiting for Jesus to call them. These are regular blue-collar dudes that Jesus called out, and they were simply faithful. Faithful and available. And Jesus, God himself, in the flesh, says to them, whoever listens to you listens to me. Whoever rejects you rejects me. And whoever rejects Jesus is rejecting the God who sent Jesus to do the work. That's a significant passage in the Bible. We have such a rebellious country and a rebellious nation. No one wants to listen or respect anybody. But this is what the Bible says. Now, if we don't respect and trust our pastor's authority, we're rejecting the one who gave him that authority. If we don't trust the pastor's authority, we're rejecting the one who gave him the authority. So then there's a couple of options apart from just respecting the pastor's authority. One of them is you don't believe that your pastor has any. And then I would say, what are you doing here? If you're in a church that you don't believe that the pastor has been given authority by God to lead it, then you're in the wrong church for you. There's a dozen churches in Auburn. Find one. Find one you like. Find one that doesn't offend your sensibilities. Find one that lets you be comfortable and sit there and plug in and plug out and make it to the Seahawks game. But if you don't respect the pastor's authority, then what are you doing here? Or the other one is, you're just simply rebelling against the authority of God in your own life. Maybe it's not the pastor's authority you rebel against. Maybe it's just God in general. Maybe God's got something for you to do. He's calling. He's tugging on your heartstrings. And you're just like, I don't care. I got my own priorities. It could be one of those, but not for you. Now, you may be asking yourself, what about the other people who preach and teach and point the way? Why aren't they all called pastors? Because you guys come on Wednesdays, you see the deacons preach too sometimes. You say, well, I don't understand. If the pastor's job is to preach and teach and point the way, and we have other people in our congregation who preach and teach and point the way, then why aren't they pastors, and why don't we have to give them the same respect and authority that we're giving the senior pastor? The difference is accountability. The difference is accountability. Jack Welch, he's a famous CEO of GE for like 20 years. Jack Welch is like the iconic epitome of the modern day leader. He's like the level 5 guy, right? He's the guy that everybody wants to be like. He's the guy that took GE in 20 years and raised their margins, profit margins, 4,000%. It's a big deal. GE's a big company. You all have light bulbs, right? Yeah. Jack Welch said this, before you are a leader, success is all about growing yourself. When you become a leader, success is about growing others. Now, there's a lot of individuals that may serve or teach or even preach, but at the end of the day, they're only accountable for themselves. Their only responsibility is their own job and their own behavior. They just take care of themselves. But when God's called out and ordained a leader over the church, that leader is now accountable and responsible for the whole church, their mission, and their spiritual health. That's the difference. Now, you probably like listening to me because I preach really good. No, I'm just kidding. But I preach and teach, right? And I'm a pastor, right? But here's the reality, is the church isn't riding on my shoulders. The direction of the church doesn't ride on my shoulders. Now, I try to be, a good sounding board for Pastor Matt. If you know us both well, you'll see that we're very, very different. We're very different. So some people come in, they're like, oh, you're pastor's friend, huh? Friends for 30 years. Now you're a pastor too. And they're like, they think that must be because it's like the buddy program or something. But the reality is we're very different. So I definitely help, right? I definitely push the ball forward. But the reality is the weight of this church, the spiritual health of this church, the culture of this church, and whatever goes on in this church is 100% on Pastor Matt's shoulders. Not on Pastor Chris's shoulders even. It's Pastor Matt's shoulders. One head, right? So that's the difference. The pastor carries the weight of accountability for us all. Look in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. Hebrews 13, verse 17. The Bible says this. Obey your spiritual leaders and do what they say. Their work is to watch over your souls, and they are accountable to God. Give them reason to do this with joy and not with sorrow. That would certainly not be to your benefit. Now, we got a lot of pastors and a lot of people here at FBC that have dedicated their lives to this body of believers. I think the percentage of people that we have that are living and breathing the kingdom of God through Faith and Victory Church is higher than any congregation I've seen. I'm willing to bet that it's higher than churches twice our size. We've got a lot of people who just like, you could call them at a moment's notice, and they're like, anything you need, I'm willing to serve the kingdom at a moment's notice. It's wonderful. But there's only one guy who's accountable for it all. And that's what I'm talking about. So I would encourage you to continue following your leaders willfully and joyfully so that they can find joy in leading you also. My third point is this. Live at peace with your leaders. Now, verse 13 says, and live at peace with each other. And I think we often read that phrase, and we've heard it a lot, live at peace with each other. And we hear that phrase, and we think it describes our interactions as people. Now, there's parts where it talks about living at peace with your environment. There's parts that talk about living at peace with your brothers and sisters in the Lord. That's a pretty important one. But specifically right now, I believe that it's talking about living at peace with your leaders. He's talking about leaders. Respect their authority. Allow them to do their job with joy and live at peace with each other. And so I think that means the leaders and the followers living at peace with each other. So living at peace, Romans chapter 12, verse 18 says, do all that you can to live at peace with everyone. That's the New Living Translation. Do all that you can to live at peace with everyone. The New King James Version says it like this, as much as it depends on you. And so what I like about the phrase, as much as it depends on you, is a lot of times I guess it's human nature. I always say in our culture because that's the culture I know. If I lived in some foreign country, I might be saying that culture. But in our culture, it's always like this eye for an eye view of things. Well, they did this, so I can do this. They were mean to me, so I can be mean to them, right? Do unto others, as they say, right? They're mean to me. They must want me to be mean back. They don't listen to me or respect me, so I'm not going to listen and respect them back. But this part here is saying as much as it depends on you. So basically, it's saying you do everything in your power to do your part. In a sense, don't even worry about what they're doing. You do what God's called you to do to mend that relationship, to live at peace. Now, sometimes people don't want to live at peace. There's a lot of people in our world that don't want to live at peace. But the Bible doesn't say, if they live at peace with you, you live at peace with them. It says, do everything you can to create peace, right? It's with your spiritual leader. So it's basically putting the burden on you to create peace with the other party, right? Now, a healthy church lives at peace with each other. That's just reality. I think we're a healthy church. I think, as a pastor, you hear about little drama here and there that pops up. But overall, I think you would agree that there's a lot less drama and conflict than you probably have in other circles. And I think we do a good job at that. I work for the fire department. So this was a while back when I was a firefighter. I was working at the main headquarters station. You could have as many as 9 people working there at the same time. So you have a lieutenant who's trying to run the whole shift there with 9 people. Now, there's besides going on fires, of course, and emergency alarms, there's a whole bunch of work you got to do. Inspections, you got to check hydrants, you got to confirm your maps and drive around and do pre-plans on buildings and all this stuff. So you need to get everybody together to go do this work together, to go drill and practice and all this stuff. So what would always happen down there, it's crazy. Everybody's spread out working on something, and the lieutenant needs everybody to come together so we can go do some work. And so it's like herding cats. You're like, you just get one gathered up, and then another one's gone. So you run. Me being the new guy at the time, I'd be running around the station like, hey, lieutenant wants to leave. Hey. And you gather them up all over the place. And so then we'd all get out there, and this one guy in particular, I don't want to name drop him, but this one guy in particular would always like, as soon as we're all there, and he'd be like, okay, let's get on the rigs. He'd go, oh, I got to go to the bathroom real quick. And he'd take off and go to the bathroom. And then we'd all be like standing around. Then one guy would peel off. Another guy would peel off. And then it would start all over again, herding everybody up again. And so I didn't notice it at first because I wasn't accountable for the group. But I remember one time when I was down there, I was in the office with him, and he was talking about basically how he did that on purpose. He's like, watch this. I'm going to wait till everybody's gathered up, and then I'm going to say, I got to go to the bathroom. Because you got the leader's hands tied, right? The leader can't really be like, no, no bathroom breaks. We're all grown people. You can't just tell somebody he can't go to the bathroom. But what struck me was the intentionality of waiting till the moment when we needed to be doing things together to disrupt the whole entire system. As if it wasn't hard enough to lead all those people already, the idea was intentionally disrupting the whole system. What's funny now is he's a lieutenant now. And so I wonder how he would feel that now that he's the guy. But obviously he was not bringing joy to his leader. And I think that in a group sometimes it's easy to be focused on our own thing and not focus on the group effort. And it's easy for us to come up with our own little things that we decide are more important or that we decide are a higher priority than what the church direction is trying to go. Now, our job as a church is to spread the gospel. That's our job as a church, to spread the gospel. Don't be a distraction to that work. Don't be a distraction to that work. It'd be frustrating. Now, being the church leader, being the senior pastor, it's not a personality contest. Now, I know Pastor Matt has a lot of personality, so you may think he won that thing, but it's not a personality contest. It's not a presidential election. We're not just voting for whoever we like the most or dislike the most. Now, I know a lot of the pastors in this area, a lot of these Auburn pastors, they're all cool people. We used to all meet together. They probably still do. I don't go anymore. But what's interesting about them is they're all pastors, senior pastors. They all lead a church, all in the same community, but they're all very different. Some are dynamic and bold like Pastor Matt. Some are real quiet, and some are like cerebral, like that, like every time you say something, they go, I said, I just want to know we're going to lunch, man. It's not, you don't have to go into prayer over it. We're just going to get some lunch. We could talk then. Some actually come up. One guy I know, he said he comes up and he just reads his sermon off of his paper. Now, as you can probably tell, that's not the style at Faith and Victory Church. But he leads a congregation bigger than this, and he goes up there and he reads his sermon notes off a piece of paper. So the reality is that people lead in all different ways, and God's called them to lead their churches. They're doing a good job leading their churches, even though they're all not the same. It's not a personality contest. But I know sometimes, and maybe, like again, maybe this is me, but sometimes we have these thoughts in our heads like, well, if I were a pastor, I wouldn't do it that way. Or, you know, what we really should be focused on is fill in the blank, right? Because we just see our little stripe of the action. We see what's most important to us, but we can't see the whole vision. So it's not really a personality contest. Let's agree on a couple of things, okay? Agree with me on a few things. The first one is this. Pastor Matt and Crystal have been ordained by God to lead Faith and Victory Church. Let's just agree on that, okay? The other thing I want us to agree on is our mission here at this church is to serve God, to love each other, and spread the good news about Jesus. So in case you weren't sure when you walked in, that's what we're trying to do here. That's what it's all about. Everything from worship to gatherings to men's events, women's events, moms groups, mission trips. It's all about spreading the gospel and making the God that we know known to others. That's what we do here, okay? Let's agree to that. And then the last thing I want us to agree to is that everything else is just details. The distance the chairs are apart is just details. The fact that we have two different, I don't know if you've ever noticed this, there's a line in the carpet right here between old carpet and new carpet. And some people might say, that's ridiculous. If you care about the church, why didn't you just recarpet the whole thing? Well, because it costs a lot of money. Thousands of dollars. So that's thousands of dollars that could go to spreading the gospel, or thousands of dollars to make you not have to worry about the stains in the church. Who cares? It's carpet. You're just lucky this half isn't red. Let's just agree on that. Faith and Victory Church exists to build up the believer in Christ and teach the unbeliever about Christ. That's what we're here for. And we have to live at peace for that to happen. Do we not? Now, again, you as a church do a great job of growing the kingdom. You really do. You really do a great job. You're welcoming. You're authentic. You're giving. You're serving. You're always ready to reconcile relationships. We get these comment cards sometimes. People comment on stuff online, or people fill out comment cards people have visited. And the comments we hear most are about people being like genuinely welcoming, not just one person at the door handing out brochures or programs, bulletins. It's like people are genuinely welcoming. People authentically greeted other people and wanted to know why they were there and pray for them and stuff like that. You see service end and you see pockets of people praying for each other. Not, hey, pastor, I need you to come pray for so-and-so. They're like, no, I got the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to pray for him. And that's a unique environment. We visited a church on vacation one time in Wyoming. The town has 5,000 people in it. I know that because we drove by the sign. So as a person who preaches and teaches and serves in a church, I'm always really curious to walk into a new church. And part of the problem is I walk in like I own the place. I'm lit up, shoulders back, I'm walking inspected. How's this going to go? And so I think that's distracting for people. They're like, I want to say welcome, but you look like you're about to work here. I don't know what to do. I think that's part of the problem. They're like, you act like you've been here before, but I want to say welcome, you're a visitor. But we walked into this church, and they had some youth at the door handing out bulletins. And they were handing them out like this. A family of four walks into a church in a town of 5,000. You got to think they stand out like a sore thumb. How many visitors do you get in a small town in Wyoming? You can't get a lot of visitors, right? And so I figure we're obvious, but you know, a family of four walks into our church, even in the city like Auburn, and people recognize it. Not just the pastors. Regular, normal, just spirit-spilled believers recognize, hey, there's somebody new in here, and I want them to make them feel welcome like I felt welcome when I showed up, right? I mean, that's an awesome thing. I would encourage you this morning to continue to do all the wonderful things that you're already doing. Keep doing it, man. You guys do a great job. We have a blessed, blessed church. We serve the Lord. That's our priority, and you guys don't forget it, and I really appreciate that. And I know Pastor Matt and Crystal appreciate that here on Clergy Appreciation Day, amen? I'm going to close with this by reading the scripture one more time. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 12 and 13 says this. Dear brothers and sisters, honor those who are your leaders in the Lord's work. They work hard among you and give you spiritual guidance. Show them great respect and wholehearted love because of their work, and live peacefully with each other. Let's pray. Oh, Lord Jesus, we love you so much in this place. I never want to forget that on a Sunday morning, with all the commotion and the hubbub and all the things we're trying to organize and plan, Lord God, that we're really here to know you more. Lord Jesus, I pray in this place that as your word went forth, if you stirred in anybody's hearts this morning, that they need to know you more, that they need to just grow in you, and maybe they just need to come to know you all together. If somebody in this place this morning felt the tug of Jesus on their heart that said, you need to believe in me, and you said, yes, Lord, I believe in you this morning. This is what I needed. I know you're my Lord and Savior this morning. I need more of you. I want to believe in you and give my life to you this morning. I would say, do this. Raise your hand. Let me see it. Raise your hand. Amen. Now, maybe some of you are in this place and you're thinking, that this is a good reminder. I needed this morning. Maybe you've been slacking and you need to do better. Maybe you didn't know, and now you know. If this word blessed you and brought you closer to God, I praise God for that. But as we go from this place, I want you to remember that the key factors here. We love God, we want to worship him, and he is the reason why we do what we do. As we go forth from this place, I pray that you would bring the word of the Lord and the gospel to those around you so that they can come to know him as your Lord and Savior too. We just praise you and worship you this morning, Lord God, in your holy name. Amen.
Amen, amen. All right, everybody stand. Go ahead and grab the handle.